You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to my couch, as you always are. And boy, do I have a great, great show for you today. Another wonderful guest who's going to teach you some wonderful techniques and also talk about how you can help yourself. You know, it's this information right now going on is an overload of spiritual fatigue. And I hear from a lot of patients that they'd like to go beyond some of the traditional therapeutic techniques and trends and learn different perspectives that can help them. You know, it helps them understand deeper wisdom about things like the intelligence of our body and our heart and how to transform themselves with inner alignment, trusting their own wisdom. You know, the old school, talk about your pain. Let's relive the past. I don't know about that. That's old school. And it's good sometimes if you've subliminally pushed a lot of stuff down. But we're going to talk about why that may not be so good for you anymore. So today you're in for a treat. My special guest, the amazing Bree Sager. She's a master of somatic emotional integration, facilitator, podcaster, and speaker. And again, she's going to help you understand some of these techniques that she shares and also let the learned layers of our painful past fall away. All right. So let's bring her on right now. Hey, how are you, Bree?
Hi, Dr. Michelle. I'm great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. So nice to see you. And I love the work you do. I love it, how you help others. It's just amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, it really is. So what I like to do before we jump into it, because I know a lot of folks say, okay, I want tools. I want to jump in. I want to find out what this is all about. Let me just share a little bit more about you so folks can get your background. And although you look like you're 18, you've been doing this.
Why, thank you.
You've been doing this a while.
I'm 46. I've been doing this
a
while.
Oh, no, you're not.
I'm 47 soon in a few months. No, yeah. No, you know what? But I'm living in Costa Rica. I thank the sun for this. It's all about that sunny glow.
Is. You got to get that vitamin D and all
it
that.
It really
energy.
Is.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why all my friends on the East Coast are wondering why they moved. Sorry, guys. I love you all. I'm sorry. but let's just jump into you. You're an internationally recognized master of somatic emotional integration. We're going to talk more about what that is. And you've guided individuals and communities across the globe towards clarity, alignment, and inner freedom. And you have decades of experience. That's why I said you look like you're 18. In international corporate consulting and leadership as partner and director at Canada's leading integrative medicine college. So, you know, Bree has medicine background. She has a lot of information. She's been doing that for a long time. So it taught her that energy, emotion, and consciousness shape our outcomes far more than strategy alone that we were just kind of talking about at the top of the show. So Bree combines global expertise with holistic insight and offers retreats, mentorship, international client guidance, and we're going to talk more about how you can find out how to get involved in her work because it is most helpful. Check out her website, Bree Sager. It's BreeSegger. Bree Sager, right?
You got it.
I don't want to mess that up because anyway, let's get into the details. Let's jump into it about the work you do. So what is somatic emotional integration? What's that all?
Well, you almost touched on it and you were touching on it when you did the introduction to the show, which is it's sort of the opposite of what we've been taught in traditional therapy, which is say the story over again, which has its place. It had its place.
Yeah.
It has its place. And right. Where I see its places now is when someone really has nobody to talk to or they just need someone to listen. That's great. And that's a really, really good starting spot.
Yes.
The thing is, our science now tells us is that when we're saying the same story and reliving the same trauma over and over again, that we're actually telling our nervous system, it's happening right now. It's happening right now. Right. And so we get stuck in that. And this is why we don't see a lot of change from long-term therapy, other than the part that we get to talk to someone, we get to talk to someone we trust. So there is that benefit of it. So what my work is about and where we're seeing science going and therapy going is more to the somatics, which really is just a fancy word for bypassing the brain. So we're not saying the thing over and over again. Right. We're not ignoring the brain. The brain, right. We all know, we've heard the brain for what, our entire lives, 30, 40, 80 years, depending.
Right, exactly.
And so we identify as the brain, right? We think that voice is us. And what we're getting to know is like, maybe we're more than that. Maybe that's not us. And maybe we can feel okay letting that still run in the background, but not be in charge. And so these sessions are about coming to know that space, that nervous system space, that inner space, that connection point within us, and letting that be the leader. And then the brain gets to be like the support mechanism that's like in life, like, okay, and now we're going to execute on what the thing is.
Yeah,
but I think we're all getting a bit tired of listening to our brain all the time. Do this, don't do this. We're scared of this. How do I make decisions? We're getting frozen, or we're making decisions so fast. Like, we're all bombarded so much. And so what somatic therapy is really about is like, can we get to know that other space in us and just let the brain do its job as support, not as the leader?
Oh, that makes so much sense, Bree. Get that crud out of the way, man. We're always right. And that's why, trying to meditate or getting into that, you know, alpha or theta or whatever, to just get that out of the way. And like you said, you know, it's research. We know now, if we keep reliving the past, our brains don't know the difference between it really happening again and the fact we're just thinking about it really deeply, because those really run deep, those thoughts and pains and fears and all that nasty stuff that we had to grow up with. But I'm with you on that. And I think a lot of people are saying, the traditional psychoanalytic is cool. So you did talk therapy for 10 years? What did you learn? I got to talk about my... Well, that's awesome, you know, but let's put that aside and take care of the inner person there, get to know you. So we'll get into more detail on that and some of the tools, because I know a lot of folks want to find out more info. And, you know, I always get emails during the show from listeners, and it's straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. All right, guys. So if you have any questions for Bree throughout the show, I'll just kind of throw that out there. But anyway, you want to communicate, that's cool too. So from an early age, I was reading your bio, and you kind of sense what you describe as the subtle emotional currents within others. I love that. So what were you sensing from others, Bree? And would you call yourself like psychic maybe back then?
I mean, I didn't have a word for it at age 6, but what I can tell you is I became very aware of what was happening in other people. Now, a lot of sensitive people do, right? This isn't uncommon, but we often don't know what to do with that. And actually a lot of it shut down in us. Mine was so strong that I was just like, I'm aware of the emotions of everybody, but it was more than that. It was the energetic states. It was sort of what's happening. Yeah. People might call that psychic. That's a fair thing to say, but I never would have thought of it that way. But what happened was, is when I started just being overwhelmed. I was just like, oh my God, I'm aware of everything. And I started having panic attacks. So I'm 6, right? So I don't have a way to express this. 6 years old, bawling my eyes out, screaming nonstop. And so my parents, they were Catholic, and their idea of like, how do we fix this? Well, we bring over priests. Well, that didn't work. We'll take her to therapists. Well, that didn't work. And no one really understood what I was talking about, right? And why was I just having this overwhelming energetic perception, but trying to describe this in 6-year-old language? And so that was sort of how that started. And then my life went, you know, curved and did all sorts of went everywhere. And now I can look back, of course, and be like, right, that makes perfect sense. So that intuition there, which is available in all of us, we've just been taught to shut it down. Sure. As was I. No one understood that. Who was going to tell me, hey, that's okay back then?
Or even,
you know, I was born in 79. Like, this was not the 80s, maybe getting into the 90s. We started seeing a lot of Steve Help stuff come up, right? But it was, we didn't have the internet.
Right? No, we did not. That's right.
I don't know what you did or how your education started, but I would go to spiritual bookstores and I would just go and be at the back. I'd sit on a little beanbag chair and I'd start reading self-help books. I was just looking for anything. This is in high school. This is my lunch break in high school.
Nice.
And I'm just like looking for info. Someone give me the answers. What is happening here?
Yes.
And my friends would, of course, they would have by that age said, you're like, Bree, why are you always saying things you know? What is this about? And I'm like, but doesn't ever, this is just so obvious to me. Like, don't, you know, and it was a really wild, awkward, funny time that I masked heavily with large doses of alcohol and marijuana. Sure. That's what happened.
Well, didn't we all? I mean, right. It's like stressors as young adults, you know, what do we
absolutely.
Do?
Well,
no, it's true. And it does, you know, it does sort of take the wandering mind, you know, off of all the energy around us. So you were still experiencing this and you still do. I mean, it's been an ongoing thing. You kind of had to maybe shut it down a little bit because it really did overwhelm you, you know, turn you into having panic attacks and things like that. So it's rather confusing. I also know that children, you know this, when they reach 8-ish, 9, they move into the beta brain. We're in theta. So we're fantasy and we believe it's all real. And we're also open to whatever's out there in another frequency in order to communicate. And within that quantum conscious frequency as a little one, you were really taking it all in, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. And we still can, right? And we still do. I mean, I work with people every single day that as soon as they get to know that part of them, you realize actually that connection point, that what we might call now quantum physics, quantum biomechanics, that's more closer to who we are. I don't think the essence of us can be defined. Like, I don't really think we can put words to that, but at least we're starting to be able to have a conversation around it. Maybe we don't need to define it. That's how I feel about it. I'm like, maybe we don't, because it's this thing, this infinite thing within us. Right. But at least that conversation is coming up now, rather than these like strange old textbooks and rules and laws that really just took us away from ourselves, put it back all in the brain. And then you're like trying to brain your way through, who am I? That question, who am I?
Exactly.
I mean, we don't do too well with that question from the brain.
No, I mean, it's really can make us a little crazy, actually. It's like, oh, well, I define myself, and we all need to have an identity, an ego identity. That's not a bad word. But, you know, through our whatever, our jobs or our identity is, you know, what we've learned, our education and who we are in relationship to people. I am a wife. I am a mother. I'm a whatever we define ourselves as. So, and we put ourselves into, you know, little boxes and we need to step out of that. Who am I really? And I think a lot of us are afraid to look into that stuff, and you help facilitate people and their awareness to find that about themselves. So, you know, so what was it that kind of helped you to move forward? So you were looking in a lot of wonderful shops and reading and getting more information. And so was there something that made you go, oh my gosh, this is my purpose, right? I've got to share this.
Well, what I did was I did everything wrong. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no.
but I lived life, right? So I got a business degree. I did another degree. I worked in merger and acquisitions. I traveled all over North America. I would go into businesses and I would sort them out. I was a kid. I was like in my early 20s and I'm like, why are these people letting me fire and hire people and make all the, like, this is weird. Like, but I'll keep doing it.
They trust me.
But it was only because of that perception. But so I just found another way to utilize that in my life. That was really what it was. I was like, I'm aware of this gift. and I'm not going to talk to people about it, but I could just see things in places. And again, this is just by understanding people's talking to people, just like we're doing, understanding emotions and being like, oh, so this would make sense for your job in this particular position to look like this. Or why are you working here? You really want to be doing this other thing, you know? Exactly. So it's things like that. That would just seem so obvious to me, but we get so stuck in our own ways that I think as people that are employed, we even get stuck in our jobs, right? And we're like, we don't even like this. We just go there every day. Yeah. And maybe there's a different way, or there's a different way for your work to look, or there's a different, there's just different ways. And that was what I saw. So that was really, you know, early 2000s, mid 2000s. And then I met my husband, and we created this college, which you mentioned in the bio. And so this was acupuncture, herbal medicine, nutrition, permaculture, doula training. And we built this together. And this was this bridge of bringing what I knew, this whole aspect of me and my business background together. And then I also started doing the work now with clients through all of that. So that was how that sort of all started coming together in a not any sort of perfect way, but in a way of figuring it out as I went.
Oh, that's really cool. I love that. And you have built an amazing, you know, wonderful service, and you are a facilitator, and you're always busy. And, you know, I think people should check out your website as well to find out more about somatic emotional integration and how you are helping everyone. So Bree Sager, folks, all right, .com, right there, right? Easy. Right?
Just that.
Okay. All right. So let's talk a little bit more about facilitating some things for folks. You talk about the nervous system restoration. Boy, wouldn't we all like to restore our nervous system? So how do you help others sort of access their full potential through working with the nervous system?
Well, first we start doing a lot less. First we start recognizing, because let's put it this way. A lot of people hold a lot of shame around how overwhelmed they are, right? Like, we feel like we need to do all these things, whether you're a mom or a father or a partner, or you're taking care of your parents, or you're just taking care of your friends, and then you're working, and you're like, the amount of information being bombarded at us every day. And so we feel like somehow we're supposed to be on top of this all, taking care of ourselves, taking care of others.
Oh my.
And that shame and that guilt really builds up. And now we could add on, like, let's say some childhood trauma. Maybe that was just our parents didn't see us, didn't allow us to be in our full expression.
Didn't,
you know, and so you have this repressed, maybe resentment, guilt. I'm not good enough. The I'm not good enough is such a big one, right? Like, I don't know. Almost all of us, I think, know that with that.
Right. Like, exactly. Yeah.
Like, I can't do it right. I don't feel, you know, no one really likes me. I'm not really invited. Like, things.
Especially
all of this.
Yeah.
Oh, and then add on social media, right?
Thank you.
And then we're going to add on some comparison.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a lot. So we first just need to recognize, like, that is all okay. And all of us are feeling the same way. People feel so isolated, like we're the only ones that don't feel good enough or competent enough, or others are smarter or prettier, all this stuff. Like, we're all feeling this same thing. And you know what? It is crazy. Like, actually, let's take a step back. It's actually crazy. It's crazy how much information we have coming at us. It's crazy how much we're supposed to do in a day. It's crazy.
Yes. Yes. So, by the way, folks, in case you just joined us, I'm with Bree Sager. She's the master of somatic emotional integration. And we're going to talk about how she is helping you and in her work and what she does and some of the tools that you can use. So first of all, folks, we just talked about back off a little bit and give yourself some downtime, right? Mm-hmm. Just take some breaks, because we are always running on the hamster wheel, right?
Yeah.
So how would you kind of suggest we do that? And it is, as you describe, nervous system restoration. So what are some of the things we can do to just pull that back, so we're not always tapping on those fight or flight?
Yeah.
Oh, gotta do. Oh, I, you know.
So first we have to get our nervous system used to doing nothing. Now, what has happened even with this little thing is that we've been told, okay, well, you should just maybe meditate for 20 minutes a day. Okay, well, what does our brain do? I'm supposed to be calm. We've just added another task.
Sure we did. Right.
And then we feel like we're not good enough at meditating.
Oh my gosh, right? It's true.
So what if we just actually start with 5 minutes and we lay there? So this is where I tell people to start. Can you lay on your couch or on your bed and allow yourself to just be there for 5 minutes? Mm-hmm. Allow yourself to maybe feel your – what is your body saying to you? Is it sore? Mm. Is it relaxed? Is it annoyed because you're laying there?
Wow.
Can you start allowing yourself to be annoyed, to be frustrated, to be angry, to have pains, to maybe you feel tired? Can you allow yourself to be tired? Like, can we start carving out 5-10 minutes, maybe a couple times a day of like actually letting ourselves be?
Yes.
And this is what I find with most people is we really try to suppress, like, let's just say there's a sound, it's irritating. And we're like, I'm not going to let that sound irritate me. Well, what if you just let it irritate you and then register in your body where that irritation is?
Right.
Like, we've been so conditioned to move past everything, all the emotions, all the body sensations. I like to keep this so simple. Just start by actually letting all of the things.
And
if we do that regularly, actually what's happening is our nervous system starts to go, oh, like, I trust you to listen. I trust you to actually pause. And this starts to allow it to relax. This is where we get the neuroplasticity starts. This is where it starts to actually realign, refine, slough off what's not needed, because it doesn't have to keep holding so tight, right? The nervous system's like, it's always on alert.
Oh my
God. We want it to just know that, you know what? I'm actually giving you permission to be on alert right now.
Right. Wow. That's very cool. And that's a feeling of control. You're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it gives us more, we're trying to, you know, chill out and, you know, manage our nervous system, but it's like, allow yourself to, it's more like mindfulness. I don't want to say so much that, but it's like you said, and you teach people how to do this and just be. And, you know, what about the people who say all the time, and I know you run into this, I'm just ruminating constantly. I'm always worried about the past and what happened and the future. And I'm always fearful.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough. We all do. But so that helps us turn down the volume on that, right? Sort of working with that nervous system, noticing our bodies and what's happening and allowing us to just feel what our bodies are feeling. And right? Things, just focus on that.
So. Yeah, because when we make even rumination wrong, then it grasps on stronger, right? So this is how our body works. Whatever that thing is that we're feeling bad about, we're giving that energy to, we're like, oh no, you can't be there. It's like, oh, I guess you need to be there more.
Yep.
And so we're inadvertently, through trying to move things away and release, we're beating ourselves up. We're telling ourselves we're no good. We're like, I'm never going to get over this. And it's like, okay, you just keep bringing that back in stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
So what if we just allow it and then really start noticing the body? Because that's the thing. Yeah. When we start getting used to this, we're like, okay, the body has a lot to say. We start to realize, oh, my stomach's actually sore when I'm, you know, having these thoughts that bring me anxiety, or my throat is just tightened up.
Right.
And then we allow that, right? Instead of like, oh, I'll just pretend that's not there. That's uncomfortable. What if we just be with that?
And we're so used to it, Ree. Mm-hmm. You know, we just don't, right? Yeah. No, that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and also I love your work because it helps people emotionally with their, and we just talked about, you know, fearing the past is going to happen again in the future, and not being in the now and that kind of thing. But I mean, it's sort of like emotion. We're just making ourselves sick emotionally a lot of times. And so you work with the aligned heart versus the emotional heart. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So that emotional heart is what we all know. That's that automatic response, right? That's that, all the things like the heartbreak, the grief, the sorrow. That's what we know. And that's that nervous system patterning that we have from the heart to the brain that kind of keeps the repetition that you were just talking about there, right? Keeps us kind of in that same emotional pattern place where we keep responding the same way and we keep doing the same thing over and over again. Maybe it's in a different relationship or it's in a different job, but we find the same thing keeps happening again. So the aligned heart is where we know that space underneath all of the emotions. But here's the funny part. We can't put a definition to that. We can't explain, try to tell somebody, oh, there's a space somewhere in my heart. I mean, you're going to like, okay, you're a crazy person. But the truth is that when the patterning of our emotions comes to, you know, when it releases, when it's not the driving force behind us, we start to realize there's a big space. It's a space. There's a freedom. There's a sovereignty there. And we realize that we can actually make decisions and move from that place, but there's no words for it. So it's almost like you're, you know, maybe you're deciding, should I go to this event or should I not? And you're in your brain. Here's the pros, here's the cons. The emotional heart has lots to say. In the past, this happened. This could it has all the things to say about it. The aligned heart, it knows. It almost makes the call. It's like it has a no or yes registered before our brain interprets it as a yes or a no, right? We know.
Yeah.
Try to put words to that, you're back in the head. but there's a part of us that just knows. And as we get to follow that more and we don't expect there to be words and a big yes, no, cons, pros, all the things, you know, apply this to any relationship, however you want to, we get to know that space. And that doesn't mean we don't like put the hard work into figuring out relation. It has nothing to do with that.
No.
It has to do with subtly knowing ourselves in such a deep way that there's so much trust there that we know we're okay and we know we have freedom no matter what is happening on the outside.
Right. Oh, I love that. Beautifully explained. That's really cool. Yeah, it just kind of brings to mind situations that I hear a lot from people who are dating, you know, and the brain goes to, why did he ghost me? Why did she ghost me? What am I not enough of enough? And why did that happen? I want to find out why. I want to reach out, but I don't want to be weird because then they'll think I'm stalking, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, right. So the aligned heart is going to sort of overlay this emotional heart that's working with this saying, I'm not enough. I'm not doing it. I'm just, what did I do? What did I say? Or that person's an a-hole because they don't like me. It's like, no, you know, right. Let's not go there. Let's get in tune with the aligned heart. And it is knowingness. I think you're right.
Yeah. And we're not making the emotional part of the heart wrong. We're just not defining ourselves from that place anymore. We're like letting it do. Yeah, we know that. We know it has its response. We know the guy's an asshole, blah, blah, all the things it's going to say, right? It's going to say all the stuff.
Yeah,
exactly. Fine. It's going to do that. And then there's something else. There's something else there where we actually are okay. And it is very possible, I know that, you know this too from working with people, to actually feel okay no matter what. And that doesn't mean you aren't angry and you're not sad and you don't have bound. In fact, your no becomes even stronger because you know yourself so well. It has nothing to do with being a pushover and, you know, being pretending you're some Buddha under the tree. And it has nothing to do with that. There's just a knowing.
Yeah.
There's a knowing that you're okay and you can go through everything. And then all the other stuff doesn't become so overwhelming. It doesn't paralyze us anymore.
Yes, exactly. And you are right on about that, Bree. I mean, that makes so much sense. And you are not that label. You are not that. Sure, we all have stuff. We all have pain. We all have fears. But it's not letting it, I guess, you know, overwhelm you in your life like a giant wave. And that leads me to your work involving survival to safety. And you talk about living beyond the stress response. Can you dive into that a little bit more as well? Because I think that is such cool work that you do.
Well, I think the first thing is to recognize that although we have, most of us, a roof over our head, we have a phone, we have food, like our system is still in survival mode. right? It still feels like we're under attack. And this has to do often, this doesn't mean we necessarily went through some huge trauma, although to be honest, a lot of us have experienced various traumas in our life, and that's just the truth of it. It has to do with when we were kids, we just weren't allowed to be in our full expression. We weren't allowed, you know, we're be quiet, go in the room. We often got punished, all, you know, and we go, okay, well, that's okay. Our parents tried our best, we often say, right? And sometimes we know they didn't, but for the most part, let's just say they tried their best. But our system, despite perhaps the trying of the best, responded with all of this like high alert stuff. And so we still feel, we're still operating from survival mode, even though we're safe, there's likely not going to be an earthquake in this moment. We're likely going to be okay. And this is why people feel so overwhelmed so quickly. They're like, I'm just at max capacity. I'm going to explode, or I'm going to stop, and I'm going to, you know, I don't know what to do, or I freeze. It's because we're already there, even though we look around and we're like, but my life should be fine. And this is this is where we get stuck in. My life should be fine. I'm better off than most people. Perhaps I have more. Perhaps my job is secure. Like, we start to say, like, compared to others, I'm okay, so I shouldn't have these feelings. And that's not how that works. That just keeps us stuck in that same space, because we're denying the reality of what's being held in our nervous system, which is frozen, like survival mode. And so we have to just recognize, that's the first part, is just to be like, there's a lot happening there, and it's hard for us to even wrap our heads around how much our systems are holding. It really is. And it takes a bit of delayering to get to know that. But one of those ways we talked about is really just, you know, you don't have to work with me to lay down on a bed or your couch for 5 or 20 minutes a day and start to actually get to know yourself in this way.
Right. And calm those crazy frontal lobe, high beta thoughts going on. Oh, I gotta, chill out. Okay. Yeah. But it's survival mechanisms, the fight or flight. We get so, you know, wired to do that after a while. It's just natural. We don't even think about it, but it's sick, you know, or we're like, our immune systems are a little shot, that we get achy, we get weird, but notice all those things and say, ooh, okay, something's happening, you know, and I've really got to relax and chill out, you know. By the way, guys, if you just joined us, and girls, I always just say guys because, you know, not sexist.
That's my kind of language. I like it.
It just encompasses the whole, not a feminist thing. If you'd like to check out Bree's work, it's Bree Segger. It's BreaSegger.com. Wonderful work, workshops, help, and it's really all of these somatic emotional integration techniques that you can learn with her. And we're talking about so many cool aspects of it, and I thank you so much. This is fun. This is really good. A lot of people are getting good stuff, so I'm getting comments saying good stuff, keep on going. Let's do this, you know. So we're listening to the body as a source of guidance, and that's so important. So what are some of the other ways that we can move through our life with greater ease and less resistance? And maybe we can define that a little bit, less resistance. What is that about? Why do we all do that?
Well, the resistance comes because we don't feel safe to have the emotions and the feelings. And when we do, let's say we have the explosion, or we tell our partner what to do and we find we're controlling everything, then we beat ourselves up over it rather than being asking a question, well, why am I doing that? Why is my automatic response to control, to fix, to overgive, to, you know, all the things that we do to try to feel okay? And so once we start bringing in awareness and asking that question of like, why, rather than just making it wrong, like we accidentally yell at our kids or our partner, or we just find that we're like, we're the volunteer. We're always the helper. We're always calm. We're always giving with a big smile on our face.
Right.
But we're come home and we're exhausted.
Exactly.
And so why are we doing this? And what's going on there? What's happening inside of ourselves that makes us think we need to control, overgive, fix, take care of everything, all these things. And I think a lot of us, you know, that's the first part. Just can we just be with the why? And then we start to pay attention to those layers.
Right. And then that beautifully explained. And then the 180 to that is somebody who's really shut down and they're not trying to give or be liked or loved, or there's no judgment. We're all, you know, needy of response. But I mean, the opposite is people who, you know, have completely shut down and developed into a personality issue, NPD, narcissism and all. And it's by no means, you know, a lot of it's their background, their early environment that had them, made them shut down. They weren't born being narcissists. Mm-hmm. Look at me, I'm the baby. They're these little souls that are conditioned to be, you know, not saying their behavior is lovely, but anyway, mm-hmm. I think that the opposite of what you're saying is giving too much is shutting down and having a facade that we need to keep around us to be all that, which is really that, because it's building our walls to keep us from being emotionally available, because we learned early on that if we do open our hearts, it's going to get stepped on, and that hurts. So we got to do all these things. But this is where you have so much great work about healing in relationship versus healing in solitude. That's very cool. I love that. So talk a little bit more about that. I love that idea.
Well, this has to do with us coming up for rules for ourselves, right? So sometimes we think we're in a relationship, for example, and I have to fix this relationship. So we need to work together to figure this out.
Right.
Okay. What if we first just looked at the internal? What if we were able to be like, okay, I have resentment for him or her. I'm mad. I can remember all the painful stuff we've done to each other over the years. Mm-hmm. And okay, so we can give ourselves permission for that. But really, it's about looking at ourselves first. It really is. Yeah. And now we also come across people that are single and they're like, I don't want to be in relationship. I can just heal myself. Well, no, also you can be in relationship and heal too. Like this doesn't have, we don't have to have these rules. I'm sure we've come across the single person that's like, nope, I'm just going to do it all by my own. And I'm swearing off of women and men for a year or two or three.
Well, I'm good. Yeah. I'll hang out with friends. Occasionally I'll do stuff, but
Or we're in a relationship and then we think we have to do it all together. And, you know, there's so many other ways, and really we don't get to know what these other ways are until we really listen to our body and what does it want. We've made things like if we're in a marriage, well, we have to sleep in the same bed every night. Well, what if you don't? What if your body wants to process on its own some nights most nights, right? Like there is a lot of new science out there saying like some of our nervous systems, if they've had any sort of childhood trauma, they do a lot better without sleeping beside somebody at night. That doesn't mean every night. We don't have to have rules. But what I do think we need to challenge is that we think something has to look a certain way. And so we keep doing it. So we think relationship healing means relationship counseling. We think that we need to spend maybe more time together. There's other ways of going about things that don't have, and it's about listening to ourselves. Like what is really happening for me? Right. What do I really need, rather than what has society told me I have to do? Do I need, you know? And
exactly.
It's so different for everybody, and we don't know till we're actually there, but can we at least allow ourselves to be open to different possibilities?
Right. Exactly. Oh, that's beautiful. And I think, you know, I have couples I work with who they do sleep in separate bedrooms sometimes, not because they're, you know, angry or they have passive aggressive, I'm sleeping on the couch or, you know, any of that. It's more like, wow, I just need to do some meditation work and talk to myself tonight. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to myself in the guest bedroom, and I love you and I want to kiss you and do whatever. And then I'm going to go in there and just get as much, you know, Delta and REM cycles as I can so that I can heal. And because I'm going through a lot of stress right now, and and they're cool with it. And I'm not saying, oh, you guys are having problems. You guys have worked it out to where you respect each other and the energy that can take place prior to falling asleep. mm-hmm. right? That energy you're getting just as you get and have the gift of getting from others. When you were 6 years old, you feel that energy. You're like, oh, whoa, you know?
Yeah. And sometimes, and this is the thing, like at age six, sometimes another person's presence, depending on how they were, or like yeah. often the mom and dad yeah. felt safe. And for others, it didn't feel safe. Right. And this is this, and it's not against our partner or it has nothing to do with that. It's just that each person's system responds differently to having people around it and in the way it is in the length of time. But we've been so conditioned to not listen to that. We just think we have to do the same thing all the time. And I think this really, this causes a lot of disharmony in ourselves.
Right, right. Now, and you and I, we're not saying you guys should sleep in separate beds.
Not at all.
I'm just saying you should flow. Love is beautiful. And if you're hugging and cuddling and doing whatever, that's really important. You need that. And, you know, but if you need space to process something, you know, besides snuggling and hugging and whatever, you get to do that. You get to go, why did I say that to that coworker? And I have to forgive myself or whatever the work involves that you share and teach people to do, you know, which is wonderful. So, you know, we get, maybe talk about those potential parents out there and or the parents out there right now, because, you know, our parents, as we always say, they did the best they could with what they had. Because maybe what they had wasn't the best, but they did the best they could. And some were just angry, unresolved souls who projected their own crud onto us. So how can we, and you work with people on this, and I love this, do conscious parenting through a somatic lens? What are some of the tools that parents can, or potential parents can learn from that?
Okay. So when I talk with parents and I'm working with them one-on-one and they might have kids, and they will realize in themselves, wow, I wish I was just seen and allowed when I was younger.
Oh, yes.
Right? And I'm like, and are you seeing and allowing your children? Oh. No, because they're actually often doing what their parents did because they want the best. They want them to go to school. They have this we all these crazy schedules. They want them to go through all the, you know, and be successful and right. be right. kind and all the things. So this is the cycle generally continues on till we really realize, wait, if I was just allowed, if I was just seen, and, you know, and this is all we need to really do for our kids. So I'll just give an example. This is what I did for my kids. And this is what I teach parents to do. Your kid is having one of those fits. So say you have the six-year-old and they are having the screaming, I hate you. You're awful. I'm mad at you. I'm not eating my food. And your initial reaction is, Matt, you're like, you know, in your mind, I give all this stuff to my kid. I'm trying to help my kid all the time. Exactly. I'm always doing all this. Yeah. And so we take it personally, right? We take it personally. They hate us. They're mad at us. They don't appreciate us.
Yeah.
We're not remembering what it was when we were six, right? We just wanted to be seen. That's it.
Wow.
What if you paused as a parent or a to-be parent and you just sat there by your kid and let them have that response? You didn't make them wrong. You were just there. And I don't mean in a way like they're being violent or anything. There's a place to say, you know, what's okay and not. But what happens over time when we are actually just present with them is that their nervous system starts to feel safe. They start to trust themselves and their emotional response. And therefore, the emotions aren't so big anymore because they're not making them wrong. Now, remember, they're not going to be able to talk about it like that because we're talking about a six or an eight or a 10-year-old, right?
Yes, of course.
But the reality is the safety starts to be, you know, embodied inside of them, where it's just this natural thing of I'm safe and I'm okay. It's okay to have emotions and I'm still an okay person. And they don't get that same thing that we all feel, the not good enough, you know, that strong resentment, all the things that we then see come out in the teenage world or as young adults. But it's just pausing. And now, why is this hard as parents? And this is the hardest part for parents.
Yes.
It's the time. We're so busy. But here's the thing that I always say. If you are able to sit with them till it's had its whole way, which might be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, I promise you're probably saving yourself 20,000, 50,000, 100,000 in therapy costs down the road. don't. Like, really, because they will feel so, even when it comes to making a decision around should I go to university, should I not, what should I, they already just know because they have that security in themselves, because they just feel an okayness that the time we put in of allowing them, of seeing them, and by seeing them, I mean, yeah, physically seeing them, but I mean, seeing them, seeing who they are, letting them be who they are, not making it wrong. And this it does not, again, I don't want to say this does not mean we're just raising kids to just do whatever they want all the time.
No, no,
it's not at all that. But it's that essence, that energetic showing up for them in a way that makes them feel safe. And it does take time, but it really does save down the road. It saves money. It saves stress. And you know what? You might have an amazing relationship with your teenagers, you know, and often, you know, we were fixed, not always, but we often fix the relationships when they come back as adults. But what if we didn't have to go through all that hard stuff?
Exactly. No, exactly. And I know you're so right. It just listening and you laid it all out. It's not that we're going to let them, you know, paint the walls and get crazy and bang their heads and, you know, certain kids do. And like you said, a lot of us, them, we just want to be seen.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, how many, you probably work, most of your clients you work with, you know, they weren't seen and they don't feel seen now. And it's just the layers, you know, of compiling and then social media, I'm not enough. I'm not seen. I'm not smart enough. The competitiveness, you know, is just so, you know, deafening and difficult. So no, you really have, you know, worked through helping a lot of people with all of these different aspects of our inner child, which is still a child. We still have a lot of those wounds, don't we? Do you think we can agree?
Yeah, we really do. I mean, it's a strange thing to say, like, can you be okay? Can you get to know your inner child? But it doesn't have to be too forced. Even thinking of it this way, what would that 8-year-old version of me have wanted from their parents? What would have made that feel good? And that's how we can apply that to ourselves. Well, as an 8-year-old, I would have wanted to be able to rest. I would have wanted to be able to probably play. Yes. I would have been wanted to have fun and lay in the sun. Are you letting yourself do that as an adult now? Or are you still just like going through the day on autopilot because you need to make it through to the weekend because maybe you're going to have an hour of free time if you're lucky?
Yeah, exactly.
So can we start bringing that, what we probably should have got as a child, into our life now and start treating ourselves with that love, compassion, and kindness that we would treat ideally our kids now or us as a child?
Mm. Because, you know, you're so right on. No one's going to do that for us. I mean, our partners, perhaps, and our BFs, you know, they'll all, you know, help. Oh, you're great. But we need to know it.
Yeah.
You know, reparenting or whatever that involves.
Yeah. Yeah. Hearing it from the outside isn't the same as knowing it. And I mean, knowing it from that heart space we were talking about.
Right.
Someone can tell us, you know, you're smart, you're successful, you're kind. People can tell us this until they're blue in the face. We won't believe it unless it really comes from a different place. It's nice. Uh-huh. It's nice to have people support us, but
it doesn't
change that deep knowing inside of us of how we really feel and what's really available there.
Gosh, it's so true. And it's just getting to know yourself better. And that's really what you teach. And that's what you work with in people. And I can't believe this has already gone so quickly. These 50 minutes, it's just like, whoosh. That's because you're a wonderful guest and you've really helped out a lot of people with some insights that they'll take with them. And I think you're going to get the response. So look out. Get ready.
I will try to get back to people. No, right. I do. It just,
exactly. So anyway, thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest and wonderful information. And I really respect what you've studied and how much you've contributed to so many people and changed their lives. So thank you so much, Brie.
Yeah. Thank you for being so much fun and for bringing this to everybody. And and let's just, it's simplicity, just simple, simple. Yeah, that's it. And thank you.
Everybody makes it difficult, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, this is so hard. I can't, hello. It's not, but they need someone to help guide them. you know, and really facilitate that. And that's you. So if you want to contact Bree on her website, it's BreeSegger.com. Bree Seger. That's it. Find out more about her and her work. And I think you'll really be glad you did. So, all right. Thank you so much. You
Thank
have a
you.
Wonderful week, my dear. And
you too.
Love the work you do, kid.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining me. So if you'd like to know more about harmonizing complex human and systematic patterns, get more empathy, get more grounded, get more self-respect and, you know, self-compassion, check her out. All right. That's Bree Seger. Thanks for joining me on the couch. And as I always say, try to take care of yourself first. You know, not in a narcissistic way. Just be good to yourself, as Bree was talking about, and then you'll be great for others, for everybody else. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.